Good evening, good evening. Welcome. Welcome to the Salty and Bright platform. Today we are continuing our teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And today we will be discussing peace. Before I jump off into the lesson, let us go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I bless you. You are worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord God, I pray that you'll search our hearts and our minds. I pray that you'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, I pray that as we listen to this teaching on peace, I pray that you will overwhelm us with your peace that passes all understanding. Lord God, I pray that there will be revelation and clarity regarding peace. And Lord God, I pray that we will be empowered to spread the good news and to share your peace and your love with others. We thank you for this time. We praise you and we bless you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So we will go on. And today's topic, we're going to be talking about peace. Last week, we talked about joy. We expressed that joy, though it involves rejoicing, it doesn't necessarily always happen in wonderful, happy times. Sometimes we have to go through great trial and tribulation to experience joy. And the week before that, we talked about love. And love is, to me, if we were to think about it, love covers all of the other aspects, because in love we find joy and in love we find peace. So what is peace? If you were to think about peace, what does peace mean to you? You can either add it in the chat or you can say it out loud on the platform. What is peace to you?
A calming of your spirit.
A calming of your spirit. Beautiful. Peace is tranquility, calm, and no disturbance. I'm going to say that again. Peace is tranquility, calm, and no disturbance. In today's world, where we have, a whole bunch of noise, we have traffic, we have just all these different, we have our cell phones everywhere, it's beeping, it's notifications, it's like all these different sounds and noises all the time. It's hard for us to find a place where we have tranquility or calm or no disturbance. You'd have to go somewhere way up in the mountains with no reception to be completely disconnected and have no disturbance, right? And that could be part of the reason why back in Bible days, people would go off into the mountains and they would just enjoy the peace or the tranquility of nature and no disturbance, because they're out there by themselves. They don't have to worry about anybody bugging them. So with that understanding that peace is tranquility, peace is calm, peace is no disturbance, the first scripture that we're going to go to is in John chapter 14. So Susan, if you'll go to John 14, I'll start off with the King James Version, and then you'll read a different translation for clarification. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge.
Wow. So the peace that Jesus talking, and the peace that Jesus gives us is not the same peace that the world gives us. His peace encourages our hearts to not be troubled and to not be afraid. So sometimes you might be sitting down and it's night and you hear a rustling in the bush, or if you have motion sensor at your house, the light go off and then all of a sudden your heart start to race and you start to feel afraid and your heart is troubled, right? You're not at peace in that moment in time. And Jesus is saying that the peace that he gives you calms all of that, right? So then on to verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, and my Father is greater than I.
You heard me tell you, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you really loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going back to my Father, for the Father is greater than I.
Then 29, and I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you will believe. So Jesus is explaining to his disciples that, hey, I'm going to leave. And he'd been telling them for some time, I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back. And they're like, going where? What are you talking about? Where are you going? Can we come? Where are you going? And he's like, don't worry. When I have to leave, I have to leave. So he's explaining to them that this has to come to pass. It has to happen so that you might believe. So Jesus is explaining that they have to witness this thing for them to believe who he is. So 29.
I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in me.
Verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me, no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me.
And then verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So that's the conclusion of that conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. So he explains that he is going to go away, but he's leaving his peace with us. So Jesus has his peace that he's leaving with us. A few years ago, I was in a domestic situation to the point where it was very frightening for me going through that particular situation. I was being pursued with a gun. It was just not a good situation. And after that situation occurred, I ran away, you know, left home for a little bit. And when I came back home, I found out at that point that I was pregnant with my second child. So this was some time ago. Now, this is my second child, I'm about to be separated from my husband, my then husband, and I'm about to be alone with one child, a baby on the way, with, you know, the legal stuff involved, because, you know, the cops were involved in all of that. But here I am wondering, how am I going to make it? How am I going to move forward? This is my life. You know, this relationship is tarnished. Trust is broken. And then I have one son looking up at me like, Mommy, what are we doing? And then to find out at that moment in time that there's another baby on the way. And I was, you know, it was not a good place to be in. And if anybody has ever experienced domestic violence, it's never a good situation to be in. You never find yourself, you never think that it would ever get there. But here I was in this particular situation. Now, the night when the incident occurred, no matter what was happening to me at the house at the time, there was a voice in my ear that kept telling me, he cannot hurt you. He cannot hurt you. Like the whole time that it was going down, it was part of me, I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But the whole time, he cannot hurt you. He cannot hurt you. And I'm like, he has a gun in his hand. He cannot hurt you. And so there was a level of peace in that storm because I kept getting a reassurance that he cannot hurt. And I was not thinking that. When somebody is pursuing you with a gun, you're not thinking the person's not going to hurt you. You're thinking he's going to kill me. But the Holy Spirit kept reminding me he cannot hurt you. So then now I find out that I'm with child. I'm going to go through this pregnancy by myself. Another thing that is scary and not sure how that would go down. I was able to call on family, and family rallied around me. And so I had support through that time. Not only did I have support at that time, but the Holy Spirit made me feel him so near. It literally, I felt, and I think I've shared this with you before, I felt like I was just in this bubble. Like I was in a safety cocoon and I was just watching the world go by me. And I was at peace. You know, if you've ever watched the movie Twister, there's a scene in the movie toward the end where the Twister, they strapped themselves to this metal thing in the farm, and the Twister went over and tore up everything. But when the eye of the Twister was going by, they looked up and they saw the sun and the clouds, and it was beautiful. They're in the eye of the Twister. And for those on the call who remember Hurricane Gilbert in Jamaica in 88, right? The hurricane went over Jamaica. There was a 30-minute period where there was calm. And we were able to move about, see what damage was happening. We went down to the bridge, looked at the river, looked at what was going on, and we only had a 30-minute window. Then we ran back for cover after we checked out things. So there was a 30-minute of reprieve, and that was considered the eye of the storm. So here you have either a tornado, or here you have this storm that is ripping up everything and wreaking havoc. But right in the middle of it is calm, peace, calmness. So here I am in the middle of my storm, but sitting with God in the eye of it, watching everything around me and still being at peace, not unraveling, that chapter of my life, that was like the, if you've ever read a book, you know, like when the lead character, you know, they come up against a challenge and it gets to the point where they're about to fail, but then something happened and then the story turns around and things started to get better. That was me in that moment, because before that, I was plagued with anxiety. Talk about butterflies in the stomach all the time. Can't sleep, racing thoughts, just like insane, to the point where a doctor was going to refer me for services for anxiety. And at that moment, I said, oh, no, God's word said to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make my request known to God. So I wasn't going to go down that path. I wasn't going to accept that report that I was anxious or I suffered from anxiety. I decided that I was going to consult the Prince of Peace. I was going to consult the God of Peace. I decided I was going to take this to him. And in my time of need, in this season of not knowing which way was really up, because I couldn't believe I was really in that situation. You know, you think that things can happen to other people, but they're definitely not going to happen to you. And then you find yourself there. It's happening. It is happening to you. And in that moment, I felt the peace of God. It overtook me. It overwhelmed me. I couldn't understand it. I wasn't frazzled. I wasn't broken. Nothing. I was calm and I was at peace. And God, oh my goodness, to experience that peace for yourself is, that's the only way I can say that you can really, truly understand it, is you know, he, God's peace is not like the peace the world gives. When the world talks about peace, they are talking about no war. No war. But the peace of Jesus is peace in the midst of turmoil, peace in the midst of a war, peace in the midst of it all. That's Jesus's peace. So what I had to do in that moment was not look at everything that was happening around me, but to concentrate and to focus on God. So Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Susan, when you find it, Isaiah 26, verse 3.
Three.
Yes.
You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character.
Yes. Inclination and character. So we're keeping our minds on our problems? No. We're keeping our minds on that situation that is keeping us up at night, the bills, the medical report. Are we keeping our minds on those things? No. We're keeping our minds on Almighty God. So I want to introduce you to the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this is Isaiah. This is many years before Jesus came to the earth. But here's a prophet. He's telling us about the Messiah who is to come. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. Now, when I read this and I think, this is the Messiah, the Son of God, for unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given. But this son is the Everlasting Father. Mm. Jesus, who is the Son of God, is the Everlasting Father. But he's also the Prince of Peace. Now, we're going to see how the Prince of Peace operates, right? It's one thing to know of somebody, and then it's another thing to actually know the person. We're going to listen to this story in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 35. And we're going to go through a situation, right? I explained earlier that the storm of my life, my tribulation, my situation that I was in, And even in the midst of that storm, God kept me safe. He reassured me that I would not be hurt. And not also that it came with the overwhelming sense of peace. It wasn't a knowing here. It was a knowing in my heart that I was, one, safe. And number two, I physically felt the hug. I felt the peace. I felt the turmoil wasn't there. The trial, the storm, I couldn't feel it. My boat was still. Sitting in the eye of the storm is like nothing is happening. It's sunshine and rainbows and just beauty in the eye of the storm, where everything else around the storm, around the edges of the storm, it's turmoil and chaos. So in Mark 4:35. And the same day when the even was come, so it's now evening, and he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
On that same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee.
36, and when they went, when they sent away the multitude, so Jesus was teaching, he's gathering the multitude, he's teaching. So, sorry, let's go on the other side of the sea. So they sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships.
So leaving the crowd, they took him with them just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him.
All right. So he's not the only one. Their boats is not, they're not the only one out there in the sea. Mm-hmm. So then 37, and there came a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship so that it was now full.
And a fierce wind storm began to blow, and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already being swamped.
Wow. So what happens to a boat when it gets full of water?
It starts to sink.
Start to sink. Mm-hmm. So not only is the boat sinking, but it's also rocking from side to side because this wasn't a gentle breeze now. We're talking about a great storm of wind. This, mm-hmm. just picture it in your mind. This would not be me sitting like this. This would be me kind of like this all over the place because this boat is rocking. The water is filling up in it. If you've ever watched any of those shows with any storm in it, you're like, oh, thank goodness I TV I'm watching because I wouldn't want to be on that. I want to be in the safety of my home. So then 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
But Jesus was in the stern, asleep with his head on the sailor's leather cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?
So stick a pin right there. We're going to dissect this one verse just for a little bit. Think about it. You are on the ship, the waves tossing the ship, filling up the ship. So this is not a gentle motion rocking you to sleep kind of thing, right? This is a storm. And what is the Prince of Peace doing?
Sleeping.
The Prince of Peace is sleeping. So Jesus is the embodiment of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the embodiment of peace. Now, what that tells me is even though you know peace, because they knew Jesus, they were with him all the time. Even though you might know peace, when storms hit, you're not going to necessarily, oh, Jesus is on the boat. We're saved. None go harm to us. Was that how they were reacting?
Nope.
No, they weren't thinking, oh, Jesus on the boat. Jesus is not going to let us die. What did they went to him and they say, carest thou not that we perish? I want to draw a parallel between these disciples who knew Jesus, who walk with Jesus, who eat with Jesus, who witnessed the miracles of Jesus firsthand. This is not hearsay. This is not they read it somewhere. They saw it. They were a part of it. Look at how they dealt with this. And look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they're told that they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, what was their attitude toward that?
Bring it on.
Exactly. They're like, look, I don't want to disrespect you, no, but know that our God, he's going to deliver us from this. You can throw us into the fire, but God going to protect us. But guess what? You see, even if he don't protect us, we're not worshiping your idol. We're not doing it. They had the unction, the gumption, and to me, they were not begging and pleading for their lives. They had a level of peace within themselves that there was a confidence. There was a confidence that their God was going to deliver them. There was a confidence. And so they could tell King Nebuchadnezzar, do what you need to do. We're not going to worship your God and God going to protect us. Versus these disciples now who, but mind you, this is before the Holy Spirit, right? This is before the Holy Spirit. Because if you read on in Acts and things like that, there were different men after the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So here they are and they're coming to Jesus. Remember that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to worship your idol. While they're over here saying, God, God, don't you care that we're going to die? You don't see all this water coming into the boat? You don't see how the boat rocking and rocking? You don't care? Because Jesus is sleeping. You know? That also reminds me, who else was sleeping when the boat was in rocking and waterboarding and all of this? Who else did that? Do you remember any? Can you think of anybody else in the Bible who was sleeping when they entered a storm? I'm gonna give it 2 more seconds. Mm-mm. Anybody remember Jonah?
Jonah was
sleeping on the boat. They hit the storm, and they're like, "Hey, this I don't know is who." Because remember, the sailors are superstitious. They say, "I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, but let's consult and see. There's somebody here, something not right with them." Mm-hmm. And when they threw lots or whatever, it went to Jonah. And that's when they went and got Jonah. Jonah wasn't awake. Jonah wasn't seeing all of this. I know, oh, God is upset. You know, he was sleeping on the boat. Mm-hmm. So there must be something in the bottom of the boat, or something when you're walking with God, or something when you have the Holy Spirit. There's something there. There's something there. And so Jesus, who embodies peace, he's asleep. And then they come to him. So after they come to him and say, you don't care that we're going to die? Mm-hmm. Jesus says to them, and he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm.
And he got up and sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down as if it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm, a perfect peacefulness.
Wow. So when I think of a perfect peacefulness, the water looked like blocks at that moment, right? Like when I say blocks, like a street. Where nothing is going on, it's just stillness. The water looks like just stillness. Now, Jesus rebukes the wind. Jesus speaks peace to the wind. Jesus extends himself to the wind. Remember, he's the Prince of Peace. And if he says peace, peace must be. So he extends peace, says peace be still. Now, Jesus expected his disciples to do the same. Jesus didn't expect them to wake him up. Now think about it. He has been showing them miracle after miracle after miracle. And they are walking with the Prince of Peace. They are walking with the Son of God. They are with him day in and day out. And he is teaching them. He's expecting them to be calm in the sea. He's expecting them to be feeding the multitude. He's expecting them to do these things. So you have a relationship with God. You are walking with him. He's expecting you. When you roll up onto the scene and there is chaos, he's expecting you to say, peace, be still. He's expecting that of you. Not only that, with the Holy Spirit, we have the power to do that. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the things that we bear as Christ followers, as Spirit-filled people. We bear peace. And so it's an extension. We should be able to come into the situation and tell it peace. And it have to stop. It have to die down. I remember one night, there was a storm rolling over. The house shook. And it woke me up. And I was like, what in the world? And of course, I got up. I said, peace, be still. And then everything went quiet. No, I believe that's because I said, peace be still, because that's what the word of God says. What God's word says is true. And as a child of God, and I'm created in his image and his likeness, I have the characteristics of God. And if Jesus is saying, peace be still to the storm, and it listens, I can say, peace be still to the storm, and it listens. I can say, peace be still to this disruption, this lack of tranquility, this lack of calm, and it be done. So when we go on to verse 40, hear what Jesus says to them. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How is it that they're walking with Jesus day in, day out? He's feeding the 4,000. He's feeding the 5,000. He's feeding the 700. He's feeding all these. He's doing all this stuff. The blind is seeing. All of this is going on. They're seeing people, the lame walking. They're seeing people being delivered of devils. They're seeing all of this going on. And here it is that the sea is showing its little tail, basically. The wind is kicking up. How is it that you're going to have the Son of God in the boat with you and think that you're going to die? Right? It just can't be done. Then, and they feared exceedingly and said no one to another. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I don't have it on here, but if you go to Genesis chapter 1, so mom, if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and read verse 26.
Then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth.
So God, when he created man, mm-hmm. gave man dominion over what first?
The entire earth.
Yeah, but let's
break it. That wasn't first, sorry. Over the fish of the sea.
All right.
That was first. Then the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth.
Okay. So if you take care of the sea, if you have dominion over the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you take care of the sea, the fish will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an aquarium and you're taking care of the fish, you feed the fish and you clean the tank.
Right.
Right, you don't just leave the water, you have to take care of the water, right? All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So the birds of the air, right? We have dominion over the birds of the air. So if you take care of the air, the bird will be all right, because what birds do, they soar, right? Or eagles soar, not all birds soar, but eagles soar. So if we have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And the whole earth. It said, and the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is the wind a part of the earth?
Part of the air.
Yes. It is a part of the earth. And we have dominion over that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Jesus revealed in his presence, what Jesus revealed to us, is that everything that God put in us in Genesis, Jesus displayed it for us. So we know what we should look like. Because of sin, we're in a fallen world. And so we forget, or we don't know what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to have dominion over these things. We're supposed to be able to speak to it and it listen. As Jesus did. When Elijah said that there's not going to be any rain, Elijah said it, you know. Did Elijah pray, Lord, close the heavens, let there be no rain? No. Elijah said, there won't be any rain. And there was no rain. Jesus was showing us what we are supposed, the original intent, original creation, original setup. It's like you buy a TV, right? And you're setting it up and you're changing up the features on the TV. But then you need to sell the TV. So you need to get it. You need to wipe the old programming off of it and you resell it so that you have to reset it. Jesus is that reset. Jesus come to show us what the original intent, what we are supposed to do. And he is the Prince of Peace. He came to us to reveal what peace looks like, what true peace looks like, and how we can create peace in our circumstances. So if we go back to John chapter 14 and read verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you."
But the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you.
So this was before the Holy Spirit came, right? So the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one working with us now, right? So before Pentecost, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had Jesus. Mm-hmm. They had Jesus with them, and he was walking with them and teaching them and showing them. Some things they had revelation of, some things they did not pick up on. Some things they did pick up on. And Jesus, being the Prince of Peace, knowing that he had to leave so that the Comforter could come, so that his disciples can have that, can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit have living inside of them, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, that in order for us to bear peace or to bear the fruit of peace, we have to understand how it works. We have to understand that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that Jesus was showing us how when he showed up, there was a stillness, there's a calmness. Even when it seemed like there was turmoil, when Jesus came in on the scene, can you imagine the ruckus? When they threw the woman down, the woman that was caught in adultery, when they brought her and they were ready to stone her, you think it was a whisper and everything was calm? No, it was a big thing. Big excitement in the streets. But what did Jesus was on the scene. And when they brought him to her, because they brought the excitement to him, he just started writing in the sand. And what happened to the ruckus and the excitement? Ruckus, excitement. Calm all the way down. There's a level of peace that comes with knowing Jesus. And there's a level of peace that the Holy Spirit helps us to bear. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to birth in us these things, but we have to realize that we need Jesus. We have to realize that there is an alignment for peace through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 54, verse 10. "For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee."
For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you.
So when I read this and I see the covenant of my peace, the covenant of my peace, that means the Lord, because this is Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel. Isaiah is establishing that the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel for peace, and that his peace will not be removed. Fast forward to Jesus and his disciples. What did Jesus tell them? He said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So to me, that is the Jesus letting his disciples know, my covenant will not be removed. I'm going to give it to you. The comforter is going to come, and my peace I will leave with you, because the comforter is the one that's going to exercise that peace in your life. And understanding how it works, understanding that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, understanding that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. Jesus is the peace that the Holy Spirit is going to help us develop, understand Jesus in us. Remember, Jesus also said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." So Jesus wants a place. Our temple is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants a place. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and peace is something that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. How will the people know that you are a child of God? How will they know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? When you birth peace. Not just peace. Today we're talking about peace, but when you birth peace. So when you roll onto the scene, do things escalate? Do problems double up? Or when you come onto the scene, is there a calming effect? Is there a harmony effect? Is there people welcome your presence because they're not fearful anymore? Because remember, you know, when Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you," right? Let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be afraid. So when you roll onto the scene, are people's hearts calming down? Are they, as they see you coming around the corner, they start feel some kind of way, and then their heart is troubled, right? Is there a tranquility? Is there a calm? Is there a lack of disturbance when you enter the room? When you roll onto the scene, when your presence is there, remember, you, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Back in the day, they had the Ark of the Covenant that had the Spirit of God in it. It had God in, God would fellowship with the people, He was, he was represented as being in the ark, right? That was his house. Mm-hmm. Now we are his house. And when wherever the ark went, there was victory in war. Wherever the ark went, there was peace. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is peace, there is joy, there's an overwhelming sense of love. All of that is there. You being the temple of the Holy Spirit, when you roll onto the scene, is there a sense of joy? Is there a sense of love? Is there peace? Is there peace? I'm saying that to challenge your thought process right now, to challenge you. Because if we are carrying the Spirit of God in us, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we are carrying the Spirit of God within us, then when we roll onto the scene, there should be a level of peace. There should be a level of joy, because in the presence of the Lord, there's joy, there's peace. So, with that being said, are there any questions about what peace is? No questions about peace. So we understand peace to be a calm, a tranquility. And we know that it can be, that the storm can be a physical storm, and it can be an emotional storm, and it can be a mental storm, and it can be
a financial storm.
Financial storm. So what do you do? What do you do if you're examining your life right now? What do you do if you find yourself that you're in a storm right now, a financial storm, an emotional storm, a health crisis kind of storm? What do you do if you find yourself in that situation? And what Kira is saying, if we carry the Holy Spirit, we should have peace. And one of the fruit that we bear is peace. Why is there no peace in this area of my life? What do we do? What do you do? What are some of the things that you think you could do?
Pray.
What else? Anything else? Anybody else want to join in? What are some of the things that we can do? We're in a situation that requires peace. We don't have
fellowship with others.
There you go.
Fellowship with others. All right. So we're going to pray. We're going to do fellowship with others. What did the disciples do when they realized that they thought they were going to die? What did they do?
Wake up, Jesus.
They cry out.
They cried out to God, right? They'll go wake up Jesus and say, hey, don't you care? We're going to die. Can you help us? Please help us. Yeah. Yeah. If you're in a situation where you know you're supposed to have peace, because did the disciples, weren't they on the boat with the Prince of Peace? Mm-hmm. Because the Prince of Peace was in the boat with them, did not change the fact that the ship was about to sink and that the waves are tossing to and fro. It did not separate them from that reality, that even though the Prince of Peace was in the boat, they were in trouble. They were in a storm. So even though we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God lives in us, that doesn't mean that we won't be in a storm. Mm-hmm. We won't be in a place where we're like, God, if you don't wake up, we're going to die. Come help us, right? It does not mean that. What this piece does, though, what this piece does. Now, after Jesus got up and rebuked the sea, he's like, yo, what's going on with your faith? What's going on with your faith? So we need to ask ourselves now. We wake up Jesus. Jesus is going to help us, right? He is the Prince of Peace. And his word said, not my word, I didn't say this now. His word says that his covenant of peace will not be removed. So if you find yourself that in your heart, something is not right and there is no peace, you have a right to ask God, God, your word says the covenant of peace will not be removed from me. Show me what is going on. I need to know what I need to do. If there's anything I need to do, maybe you stand on that premise that God's covenant of peace will not be removed. And so I reject any feeling of anxiety. I reject any turmoil. Peace be still. Mm-hmm. We have that authority. We have that right. We can do that. Now, if you don't understand what power you have with God, then it might be easier for us to sit on the wayside and get beat up. If you don't know, I am telling you that you have the authority. You have the right. As children of God, you have the right. You can speak to the wind. You can speak to your finances. You can speak to that conflict. You can speak to it. You have the power to speak to it. I would encourage you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, you know what? Throw us into the fire. Oh, our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to worship your idol. We have to have such conviction of what God's word says is true. We have to actually start believing it. We have to start believing it. We have to believe that his covenant of peace will not be removed from us. And if we feel like it's being removed from us, is it really being removed from us, or is it just our soul and our feelings and, you know, how we're feeling at the moment? I'm not saying that you won't go through hard times. I'm not saying, because Jesus said it, you will go through tribulations, but fear not, he has overcome the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus has already overcome the world. So we can have peace knowing that he has already overcome. If you're in a situation where it's a doctor's report, a medical report, or you're worried about death, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So find your peace in the fact that he's the resurrection and the life. If you're hungry, find your peace in knowing that he is the good shepherd. He's going to provide for you. He, remember what the shepherd does to the sheep. He, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me aside. Still waters, he restores my soul, right? He's going to feed us. He's going to restore our souls. He is the good shepherd. We should be at peace that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, what does that look like for bearing the fruit of peace? I've mentioned it before. I've been saying it. When you bear the fruit of peace, you're not the person that's going to be sowing discord. You're not the person that's going to be stirring what we call pasa pasa. You're not going to be stirring things up. You're going to be the firefighter that's going to be putting, extinguishing all them fires. You're going to be the one that when you roll onto the scene, just like when Jesus came onto the scene, if somebody was dead, Jesus, I need your help, person. If they're sick, they heal. If they're dead, they're raised. When Jesus come onto the scene, there was calm. There was confidence that he was going to fix it and make it right. So when you're bearing peace as a fruit, you, the Holy Spirit is working within you so that when you come onto the scene, there's not going to be chaos. There may have been chaos before you got there, but by the time you get there, chaos need to start packing and getting to go. And if chaos decided that it wants to put up its legs and relax, that's when you peace be still and you send it on its merry way and you evict it. We have that authority. We have that power. So just reminding you, ladies, that you have that as children of God. You have to know you benefit far enough. I heard it said one time, the will of God, right? When do we get a will? When do somebody execute a will? When is a will executed?
When they're dead.
When somebody's dead is when the will is executed, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, Jesus died. He rose again. The will was already executed because it's when a person dies, the will is executed, right? Mm-hmm. The will is executed. We are children of God. We can reap our inheritance as children of God. So we want to make sure we want to make sure that we know our authority. We know how we stand. We know whose we are. As children of God, we have that authority. Remember, Jesus was showing us exactly the original intent, you know. When God made Adam and made him in his likeness and in his image, where he had dominion over the whole world. When Jesus was patting, was calm and peace be still to the sea, they should have already known to do that because that was their original intent. That programming is in there. Mm-hmm. The programming is there. But because of sin, there was a corruption in the programming. Mm. And Jesus came to put on that, what do you call it? Not the malware, whatever that is, that the cleanup. The antivirus to clean that up so that we can operate in our true sense. Mm-hmm. And in our true sense, we have authority. We have the power. We can do it. So when we step onto the scene, we can say, peace be still and it be done. Mm-hmm. Just like God said. Emphasis here. Jesus mm-hmm. is the Prince of Peace. Not only is Jesus the Prince of Peace, but the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So mm-hmm. Jesus passed on comfort or peace to us. And in Isaiah, we are reminded that the covenant of his peace will not be removed. So mm-hmm. I encourage you to challenge when you find that you are not in peace or the circumstances that you're in are not in peace. I encourage you to challenge that. That is not what God said. And because God didn't say it, it's a lie. You can stand on the word of God that even though the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, God's loving kindness will not depart from you. His covenant of peace will not be removed. Mm-hmm. And this is the Lord that has mercy on you. This is a God who loves you and has mercy on you. Let's close out in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that your words are yea and amen. Lord God, we're thankful that you put your word above your name, and whatever you say will come to pass. We're thankful, Lord God, that we can depend on your word. We're thankful, Lord God, that your word lights our way. We're thankful, Lord God, for your teaching of peace. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us of who we are in you, and that we have the authority to calm the seas and to command peace. Lord God, as we go throughout the rest of this week, I pray that you will order our footsteps in your word. Lord God, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in your sight. Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you. We lift Vaughn's up to you now. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will overwhelm him with your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 All right. Good night. And I will catch you next week.